In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
I have here a simple object. It's a hand towel, something you see and use every day. If I were to ask a person what they notice about this particular hand towel, well, gosh, one person might say, that thing is filthy, right? Its color is faded. It's got dirt or mud on it. It's got something down here that looks like blood. It's bleached in this corner down here. And I don't even want to know what this brownish yellow stuff is up here. And I tell you, it stinks. And I'm not saying that for dramatic effect. It actually stinks. Keep this thing away from me. That's what one person might say. Another person might have a completely different way of seeing this object. That person might say, this is a quality hand towel. It's thick, it's strong, it's obviously durable, it's absorbent. Look how many things it can absorb. I can polish things with it, I can dry things with it, I can protect plants from the frost with it. What a great towel. Two completely different ways of seeing the same object. So which person is correct in their observation? Technically speaking, both. Both people are correct. But are both perspectives equal? Or is one superior to the other? Throughout the Gospels, Jesus frequently encounters and he observes and he comments on the religious leaders of the day. The Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests. Now, those groups didn't always get along with each other, even, but one thing they all had in common was a fear of being tainted by a sinner, by someone they thought was unrighteous. They wouldn't touch such a person. They wouldn't eat with such a person. They'd cross to the other side of the road so as not have to pass too close to such a person. Jesus was once having dinner with some Pharisees, and an unrighteous woman barges into the house and begins to wash the Lord's feet. And these Pharisees he was with started to whisper to themselves, if this guy was really a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman he was letting touch him. Again, this fear of being touched by the unrighteous. If these Pharisees, if these priests saw this towel, would they be the type to see the quality of the cloth? Or would they be the type to see the dirt and the stains and the stink? You know the answer. You know it. And worst of all, they would think that's what God wants. They would think that's what God is like, to fear the taint of the unrighteous. But it is into this world that God himself comes in the person of Jesus Christ to say no. You've got me backwards. You got me all backwards. I have placed my divine image in you and in him and in her, and it is permanent and indelible and eternal. And that image is what I see in you. Today in the gospel, Jesus proves this divine perspective once again. He goes to, first of all, a despised people, the Samaritans. The Jews couldn't stand them, and they couldn't stand the Jews either. There's all this religious dispute on who was right. That's the people Jesus goes to. He stops at a well and meets with a woman, which was scandalous in its own right. And not only is she the type to go to the well alone, we find out she's been married and divorced 5 times. And she's currently living with a guy she's not even married to. Yet she's the one that Jesus chooses to meet with. She's the one Jesus sends back to the village to proclaim his name. She's the one that he chooses to be an apostle to the Samaritans. People were going to that well off and on all day long. He could have gone there anytime he wanted and chosen anyone he wanted. He chose her. He chose the one that her village would have called stained. If she's this towel, does Jesus see the stains or the quality of the cloth? I mean, he sees the stains, make no mistake about that, and he'll take care of the stains. But is his focus on the stains or is his focus on the quality of the cloth? He cherishes her true and God-given substance. When Jesus sees Fotini, that's the woman's name, when the Son of God chooses Fotini, he is teaching us to value the good and to see the good as he himself does. 2 days from now in the church, June 1st, so that'll be Tuesday, we celebrate St. Justin, the philosopher. He was a very early Christian, lived the very late first and early to mid-second century. He's a martyr who died for the faith. He ended up being killed for the sake of the Christian faith. And Justin left us a lot of writings. One of his most famous and valuable was a plea to early Christians to not be afraid of the pagan society in which they lived. Now, some people might think that our modern American society has gotten so bad or is so anti-Christian, but really, we have no clue. The second century Christians would laugh us to scorn if we complained about how anti-Christian our society was. They would just laugh at us. But Justin, even in the midst of that society, Justin told his listeners, no matter how awful parts of your culture are, and they are, no matter how awful they are, there is good to be found there. At its core, societies are made of people, and people are made by God in his own image and likeness. And Justin's most famous line was, "You can find the seed of the word," the seed of the word, meaning the seed of Christ. You can find the seed of the word everywhere, everywhere, in every person, in every culture, in every society, in every religion. There is something of God planted there that you can find if you look for it. And as broken and as stained as it might possibly be, this seed of the word, this inherent goodness, is at its core if you are willing to take a look. And instead of always looking for what's wrong, we are taught to look for what's right and build from there. It's what St. Paul did in Athens at the altar of the unknown God. It was a pagan altar, and he still used it because there was a seed planted there that the people could find Christ through. It's what St. Hermit did with the spirit houses they put over the graves in pagan Alaska. It's what Jesus does with Fotini. He saw the good in her, and he exalted it. Now, when the disciples returned and found Jesus talking with Fotini, it says they were concerned that Jesus was talking with a woman, and a foreigner at that. If they had known her background, they would have popped their collective cork if they had known what kind of woman she was, because they had not yet learned to see the cloth of our humanity the way God sees the cloth of our humanity. They were still focusing on the stains and fearing the taint of the unrighteous. But Jesus shows the divine way, which is don't fear. Don't fear. God casts out fear. Don't fear the taint of someone else's possible unrighteousness. Look for the good. See the sacred. Find the seed of the word and build from there. Do you all remember the What Would Jesus Do movement about 10, 15 years ago? It was all the rage for Christians to ask, what would Jesus do? And I was walking in Eau Claire down Water Street about 10, 15 years ago. And on one stretch, there's a couple of college bars. And there was a campus ministry group was outside one of the bars. I think the bar was called The Pickle. The Pickle. That's what I remember. I remember a sketchy looking place anyway. And this group was handing out pamphlets with What Would Jesus Do on the front, trying to win the souls of the people entering The Pickle. Now, I didn't say anything, but I did think something to myself. So the thing is, I found the whole setup a little bit ironic. What would Jesus do if he were ministering down on Water Street? Would he hand out pamphlets outside the bar? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Jesus would have gone into the bar. I think he would have gone in and embraced the humanity of each and every person inside the bar, looked them in the eye and say, I love you and God loves you. He would get to know them and he would love them and he would see past the stains to the quality of the cloth underneath. I just don't see the Son of God standing outside afraid of the taint of something called the pickle. By all this, of course, I do not mean we accept or embrace sin. By no means. And we certainly don't participate in sin. Jesus would not have gone to a place and participated in the sin, but he would have gone to a place because of the humanity that's in there. But washing away and worrying about other people's sin is not your job and it's not mine. It's above our pay grade. It's above our pay grade. You've heard the phrase, love the sinner and hate the sin. That's not Christian. That's not Christian. That's certainly not Orthodox. Your calling is to love the sinner, period. Full stop. If you want sins to hate, hate your own. For your neighbor, find what is good. Find the seed of the word, the seed of Christ, and build from there. See the quality of the cloth beneath the stains. That is the path of the gospel, and that is the way that Christ shows us today. Amen.